Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Did you say Hairmaster?
No, you dimwit. Airmaster.
Caremaster?
No, Airmaster.
Daremaster?
Clean your ears out. I said Airmaster.
Stairmaster?
Oops, don't try that one. It's probably trademarked by someone else. Airmaster.
Ha ha, got you on that one. I said Stairmaster. S-T-A-R-E, Master. Tearmaster?
I'm going to tear you. Airmaster!
Oh, I get it. Airmaster.
Yes, Airmaster.
But what do they do?
Airmaster Aerator, the patented aerator that makes a difference. More than an aerator, a complete waste treatment system. Airmaster Aerator. The following Nip Impressions column was written by Jim Thompson. My name is Steve Rausch, and I'll be reading this column for Jim. The title of this week's column is Innovation and Strategy, Back to the Future. And this is what Jim has to say about that. As you might have guessed, November is Innovation and Strategy Month at Popritella Publications. I thought we would start out talking about lost innovations. There are many clever innovations with industrial application from the past that have been lost to the present era. We can explore the reason for this. I have my opinion. Coming out of World War II, that is, the war where fighting ceased in 1945, I am slowly realizing younger generations are not being taught history, and I must explain what should be common knowledge. The Western world entered an era of attitudinal adjustment that can be best described by saying, quote, "We entered the age of plastic and cheap energy. We could eschew doing things the old way," was the thinking. "We can do them now with brute force." Thus, clever old devices were lost. An example is in order. This past Sunday evening, I was having dinner at the home of an elder in the Old Order Mennonite community where I had been invited to visit for the weekend. These folks use old ways, and in their community, one thing they do not allow is motors of any kind, which includes internal combustion engines as well as electric motors. Well, this is not completely all-inclusive, for they have clocks that are battery-operated and obviously have a tiny motor, but after dark, one has to hold a kerosene lantern up to the clock face to see what time it is. This restriction causes a problem if, for instance, you wish to raise water to a level than its current steady state, a common problem on a farm. One would think this limits a person to one or two ways to accomplish this task. The first way would be an old-fashioned hand pump like one might find on an old farmstead. The other way is a pump piston or centrifugal attached to a horse-powered treadmill, common in communities such as the one where I was visiting. In the course of the conversation, I brought up a third way, which I had read about but never seen. My host immediately agreed, in fact, had lived where they had used the contraption I presently described. It is a clever mechanical device called a hydraulic ram. Obeying the principle of physics, of course, a hydraulic ram takes a source of water that is at one elevation and, mounted below that source of water, takes the momentum of the water's elevation drop to the ram to lift the smaller portion of the total flow to an elevation higher than the original steady state level. Essentially, it takes the total momentum of the drop in elevation of the whole stream, less friction losses, and uses it to push a portion of the stream to a much higher elevation. It is simply an exploitation of equating the total potential energy given up by one stream to that exerted to raise another stream of smaller volume to a higher level. No motor, no electrical connection, hence no outside power source, a simple, relatively imprecise piece of machinery. It's beautiful. I can think of several places in pulp and paper mills where a side stream is pulled and pumped to a higher level, while a large portion of the stream is sewered or taken to a lower level in the process. Yet, have you ever seen a hydraulic ram used for this purpose? Of course not. Admit it. You never heard of a hydraulic ram as I have described until about a dozen sentences ago. When one walks through old mills, one can find all sorts of clever little devices like the hydraulic ram that have been discarded because we think we have a better way. Another, a clever self-propelled felt alignment system I once saw comes to mind, for instance. So upon examination, we find we don't have a better way. We have foolishly discarded an innovation we thought to be old-fashioned. It is time we look at these again. For safety this week, some of the older lost innovations just may be safer, too. The one I just described may have a pinch point, but is certainly not going to electrocute you. Be safe, and we will talk next week.
Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson and is copyright 2018, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Are you facing a complex installation, expansion, greenfield project, or maintenance project? Make the smart choice. Sierra Meyer, a nationwide industrial general contractor, specializes in the pulp and paper industry. Our skilled millwrights, pipe fitters, iron workers, boiler makers, carpenters, laborers, cement finishers, operators, and a team of experienced project managers, architects, and engineers are safe, effective, and efficient on any project, planned or unplanned. Take the smart step toward getting your next project finished safely and done well. Contact C.R. Meyer at crmeyer.com.
The following Nip Impressions column was written by Jim Thompson. This is Steve Roush, and I'll be reading this column for Jim. The title of this week's column is called Pulling the Plug, and here's what Jim has to say about that. As hard as it is to get innovation right, a subject to which we alluded last week, pulling the plug on a bad project is even harder. If you read the management books, they will often quote someone like Winston Churchill, Vince Lombardi, or Teddy Roosevelt with an admonishment to never ever give up. Sometimes you just need to give up. It is called throwing good money after bad. Back in the 70s, I was involved in a project funded and managed by a large, prestigious company that should never have been started. At least it was the way it was conceived. By the time the project was killed, over $150 million had been spent, back when that was real money, and tragically, close to a dozen customers had been killed. In hindsight, plenty of clues were available, but folks chose to ignore them. Once you have a certain threshold amount invested, no one wants to admit they have made a mistake. Many a board of directors would have acted more fiduciarily responsible if they had shut down the newsprint mills sooner than they did. But here sits an asset with a large sunk cost, and no one wants to make the hard decision. How can you tell if your project deserves a proper burial? You have to step back and look at how it fits in the overall marketplace and economy. In third world countries, you must quit imagining you are in a first world country. After all, what is the exchange rate history and projection with your largest market? How stable is the government? Clue if a leader is waving around a pistol when routinely making speeches, time to get out. But small projects can have these problems too. In one case, I became fixated in solving a small problem which would yield incremental tons. The next manager saw a bigger picture, made a big move, and blew the doors off profitability. Engineers are particularly susceptible to what I call the high school science fair project mentality. What is this? They become so enthralled with what they see as the elegance of their solution, they fail to stop and test it. Does it spin the invoice printer sufficiently? Your best bet, whenever your peer level junior engineer, manager, CEO, is to find your equivalent, perhaps not even in your industry. Especially at the CEO level, you'll want to stay out of antitrust problems and ask them what they think of your idea. These people will approach it without prejudice and give you an opinion you seriously use as a test. Sometimes you can get right up to the end and discover a project needs to be stopped. Money, time, and schedule has been invested, but it just does not make any sense, even though it is going to start up next week. Who can stop such projects? likely only a new leader. Unfortunately, such timing is surreptitious and seldom happens. New safety ideas involve testing, too. Don't fail to make sure a new safety protocol really improves safety. There have been several resulting in disaster. Be safe, and we will talk next week.
NIP Impressions is written by Jim Thompson and is copyright 2018, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Companies all over North America think of Fulton Systems for their thermocompressor and steam systems needs, all the way from initial design to startup to troubleshooting. For more than 90 years, Fulton Systems has helped companies keep thousands of thermocompressors operating smoothly and assisted mills with hundreds of paper machine rebuilds. Turn to Fulton Systems for steam and condensate system design, dryer suction performance audits, and consulting services on all aspects of dryer suction and condensate systems management and operations. Call us at 770-447-1400. Visit our website at fultonsystems.com.
The following NIP Impressions column was written by Jim Thompson. My name is Steve Roush, and I'll be reading this column for Jim. This week's column is entitled Strategic Politics, and this is what Jim has to say about that. I have been saying for some time that major capital projects often have a large political component to them. Throughout my career, this has been true to a certain extent. In the modern age, with animation and graphical availability available to everyone, it has become even more the norm rather than the exception. Board members and nearly all capital projects reach a threshold, either alone or bundle with others, that board approval is required. It has become de rigueur that proposal for capital expenditure be served up with flashy graphics, animation, and so forth to impress the board members. Internally or externally with freelancers, these documents have become media-worthy of an Academy Award. Only one problem. Such a presentation of baubles masks the meat and hard questions of the consideration at hand. Of course, this is the exact intention of the project sponsor. Don't bother these folks with messy numbers. They are too busy for that. Give pictures, drone shots, 3D fly-throughs of proposed facilities. Do anything to keep them from zeroing in on the real return. The roadway to success is littered with ditches full of projects solid without substantive analysis. They are quote-unquote picture-perfect projects built on a foundation of sand. In our industry, repetitive exercise of such foolish project selection has put many a company out of business. Yes, we hear that such and such a company went out of business because markets changed and the last three capital projects did not anticipate the markets change. News alert, predicting the markets is part of the analysis. Predicting the markets correctly is the first step, not the last step in considering a future capital project. Yet, if you had been involved in this process, think back. How many times have you seen the gee whiz new stuff presented first and the markets talked about, if we have time, after lunch? Equally given short shrift, although usually not quite the same disaster as missing the market analysis, is the assessment of raw material supply and energy. In one case, I even saw the supply of labor miss the mark so badly that it affected the performance of the new facility for many years. All capital projects are strategic. All capital projects are political. If you are in any kind of position of authority and responsibility, it is your fiduciary duty to stand up and wave your arms if the proper rigorous analysis is not performed. It can be your career, if not the future of your company, that is at stake. Sometimes it is best to bring in a qualified outsider or team of outside experts to oversee that analysis you have done. The people who can do this properly are rare. Their contract needs to be limited so that there is no chance that they receive any future compensation from this project, up or down, despite their recommendations. This is one way to politicize the situation and have a chance at delivering a competent go/no-go verdict. For safety this week, I have seen compromises made in safety expenses to get a project in under the wire financially. Of course, this always fails. Hopefully it fails in time to correct with just money, not injury or loss of life or property. Be safe and we will talk next week.
NIP Impressions is written by Jim Thompson and is copyright 2018, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.